And Caleb and welcoming those that are out with us tonight, especially if you consider yourself visitor, want you to know that you're always welcome to worship here with us any opportunity that you have. I have a preface for the lesson of the evening. This is an older lesson that I have given before, but we have some in our group that have never heard it before, and for the rest of us, it's always, this is the topic of the evening is always something that we can build off of and gain encouragement off of each and every day of our lives. It's something we need to be reminded of constantly when we're about the work of the kingdom. And that is pulling yourself out of your comfort zone. You know, we all have things in the work of the church as we go through this lesson. We all have things in the work of the church that some are good at, some are not good at, but yet we're still to be about the work of the church. And as we go through this lesson, I hope that point becomes clear, because we need to change our attitude when we look at the work of the church and how we are involved in that work. The first reading for the evening this evening is Matthew chapter 14, starting verse number 22. Says that straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side, while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray, and when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a spirit," and they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid." And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it be thou, bid me to come unto thee on the water." And he said, "Come." And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him, and said unto him, "O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?" And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, "Of a truth thou art the Son of God." You know, we look at this story and we get out of it the most basic principle of it is that if Peter hadn't let the things going on around him when he stepped out of the boat to walk on the water distract him, then he wouldn't have started to sink. That as long as he was focused on Jesus, he would have been okay. But I want us to get something completely different out of this group of verses this evening. Something maybe we don't see right away when we read these verses. I want to notice that even though the ship was in rough waters, Peter was safe as long as he stayed in the boat. That anything that would happen to the ship or those in it other than getting tossed about. So when Jesus asked Peter to come out on the water to him, he was asking Peter to get out of his comfort zone. On the ship, he was okay, but out on the water, he was definitely out of his natural element. The same applies for us in a lot of the work of the church that we are supposed to be about in this life. And that same can be said of us. Jesus asked us to come out of our comfort zones to him in the work of the kingdom. So what are our comfort zones? You know, and as I said in the intro, we all have different areas in the work of the church that we are good at. But for me, sometimes it's easier to figure out what are not my comfort zones than to say what are my comfort zones. And it's that's something we're not going to go into detail on individuals, but you think about your own life in the work of the church, things you're good at, things that you're not good at. And as we go through the lesson, we'll explain a little bit more as we go through that. You know, everybody has their own fear of things that they aren't good at, but when we let our fears of doing what we aren't good at or comfortable doing keep us from doing whatever it is, then our fear is what is controlling us. Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 6 says, "But without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. You know, and I've worked through the years, I've had several lessons strictly on faith. And yet, that's one of the things that I think a lot of times we overlook. Scripture says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. So, do we have the faith that would please God? Do we have that type of faith? As we go through the lesson, we'll examine that, whether we might have that type of faith. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 38 says, now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. So when we're out doing the work of the church, we have to have faith that we are not alone out in that work of the church. The just shall live by faith. That's a simple topic. The just shall live by faith. That's the way we live. We should be guided by our faith in God's word and what the promises and the commands that he gives us. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. So when we look at our comfort zones or those things in the work of the church that we are not good at, and somebody says, hey, let's go for, I'll give you a prime example. Hey, let's go knock doors. Oh, I'm not any good at knocking doors. You guys go do that. If any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. Do we get that way when there's things in the work of the church that we don't want to do because we don't think we're very good at? And again, as we go through, we'll have a little better understanding of some of the thought processes of that. You know, fear is the opposite of faith. It says the just shall live by faith, and it's impossible to please God without faith. Fear is the opposite of faith. Fear paralyzes our actions. Oh, no, I can't do that. Or I don't want to do that. Fear diminishes our ability to believe in the promises that God gave us that you go do this work and I'll be with you. Fear refuses to believe that God is there with us when we're out doing the work of the church. How do we break the bondage and the cycle of fear? We do that by choosing to believe God through acting upon his promises. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7 says, God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of sound mind. So our fear did not come from God. Our fear comes from Satan and this world. That Satan's back there telling us that, no, you're not even good at that. You don't need to be doing that. That's bad. And in reality, Satan's saying, you don't need to be doing the work of the church because that's what God wants you to do, and that'll bring more people to God. You just stand back out of the way and let somebody else do that. You're not qualified for that. And we let that go, and we believe that thought process quite often. Psalms chapter 46, verses 1 and 2 says, God is our refuge and strength, the very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea. So you look at these couple of verses in Psalms, it says, God's our refuge and strength and present help in trouble. It says, we won't fear, though the earth's coming down around us, we won't fear. It says, though the mountains be carried away into the midst of the sea, and the earth be removed. So if the world's crashing down around us, we still have no basis for fear in our lives in the work of the church. Psalms chapter 34, verse 4 and verse 17. Verse 4 says, I sought the Lord and he answered me. He delivered me from all my fears. First, we have to seek God to be able to get that avenue that he will answer us and be delivered from our fears. Verse 17, the righteous cry out and the Lord hears them. He delivers them from all their troubles. We look at troubles in these verses like this and we think, well, that's our health troubles, or if we're having some kind of a physical problem in this life, these things along that line of thought. But yet, you know, our fears are troubles in themselves because it keeps us controlled to where we don't step out of our comfort zone to do the work of the church. You know, the thing is, we think that all I have to do is all on my own. It's everything that God expects me to do in the work of the church, I'm out there on my own. I'm on an island. I'm all out there on my own. That's not what God's word says. And this is the foremost problem holding us back into our comfort zones. We forget that God told us over and over that we're not alone. We keep thinking that God expects certain work from us, but that we have to do it all on our own. And that's not what these verses tell us. God says he's with us. All we have to do is be about the work, doing what he's commanded us to do, and he's there with us. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 13 says, "For it is God which worketh in you both the will and to do of his good pleasure." So it's God that works in us and through us for his good pleasure. There's nothing in here that says, well, what about Ken? You know, Ken doesn't feel that that's for his good pleasure or that I'm on my own. No, it's not what the verse says. It's God that works in us both to will and to do of his good pleasure. It doesn't make any difference if it's something that I'm good at in the work of the church or not. I need to be about doing the work of the church, as we all do. We all need to be about the work of the church. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 20 and 21 says, "Make you perfect." Of course, this was talking about how Jesus would make us perfect in every work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. So it's God makes us perfect. Makes us perfect in every good work to do his will, working in us that which is well-pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ. So God equips us to handle everything that we need to do as work in the church. Anything he's called us to do for work in the church, God has equipped us, and then he gives us Jesus Christ to go with us to help make it as easy as we can and help guide and direct us in that work of the church. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10 says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." We're created for good works so that we should walk in them. These last couple of verses are pretty close, but I want to emphasize this verse. We are created, we are created in Christ Jesus for good works. That's what we're here for. We're not here for what I want to do. We're here to be doing good works for the kingdom of God. This verse tells us three things in this little short verse. We are God's workmanship, we're created in Jesus, and we're made for good works. That's our existence in this life. That's what we are created as children of God, to be able to do the works that God expects us to do. Now, does this sound like God expects us to do the work in the kingdom by ourselves? You know, no, it doesn't. We have all the help we need, whether it's through our brothers and sisters by direction from God or through direction from God through his word. Colossians 1 and 10 says, "That you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God." Walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. You know, if we go to knocking doors and I say, no, I'm not any good at that, I'm going to stay at home, let some of these other folks do that. Is that walking worthy unto the Lord to pleasing? How can we fulfill this duty when I'm afraid to get out of my comfort zone? And your comfort zone is whatever you choose that you think is that your comfort zone. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8 says, "And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye, having always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work." This verse simply tells us that God will equip us to handle any situation he leads us into, that we will have all sufficiency in all things so that we may abound to every good work. Jesus tells us in John chapter 15, verse 4 and 5, it says, "Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine. No more can ye except you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. So as you look at these couple of verses and, okay, we're the branches. But if I'm a branch out here on my own, I'm not tied to the trunk or whatever the plant is, then I have no root to feed off of. I have no root to get nutrients. I have no root to get moisture. I'm just on a branch out here on my own. We've all broken branches on plants that we've dealt with, whether it's trees, shrubs, vegetables, whatever the case may be. When you break off a branch, what happens to it? It dies. It dries up and dies because it's taken away from the trunk where it gets its nourishment from. That's the analogy that Jesus says here. He says, I'm the vine, you're the branches. And you, if you abide in me, you can bring forth much fruit. But without me, you can do nothing. And that's the idea that we need to have in the work of the church, that we're not alone. We never are alone when we're about doing the work of the church. We look at the things like this, it's our comfort zone, and we say, well, I'm not good at that. You know, I worked auto body repair work for 45 years. When I first got started, I was not good at it. Any job that you have, when you start at, you're not good at. But yet, through experience and time and effort, you get good at. That's the way we need to look at these things that we don't consider to be in our comfort zone when we're doing the work of the kingdom. That if I'm not good at it, then I need to be doing it really more and more so that I can gain the experience to get good at it and put it in my comfort zone. And then they say, well, we're going to go knock doors. You want to go? Oh, sure, let's go. Well, let's not just stop at this neighborhood. Let's go across the road, go to that neighborhood. No, no, no. And we look at things like that, especially as knocking doors. When again, fear freezes us. We're so afraid we're going to get the doors shut in our face. So what if we get the door shut in our face? We go to the next door. If somebody wants to hear the word, then you stand there and spend as much time as you can to spend the word, to discuss the word of God with them. If somebody wants to argue whether Adam had a belly button or not, then you probably need to just say, well, here's an invite to our meeting and go on to the next door. We don't need to be contentious and argumentative to the things that we knock doors or try to do studies or things like this. And I realize in today's society, when you find somebody that would be interested for you knocking on the door wanting to talk about God, that's few and far between. Usually, I'm mad when somebody knocks on my door because I have to get up and go see who it is. What do they want? What are they trying to sell? I don't want solar panels. I don't need an alarm system. I already have an alarm system. That's what told me you were at the door. So I don't want none of that stuff. So we get conditioned to that type of mentality, and we think that if I'm that way, well, everybody's that way. And that's not necessarily the case. James chapter 2, starting verse 14, says, what doth it profit, my brethren, though a man may say he hath faith and have not works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding you give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? So we go back to the beginning of the lesson where Scripture tells us without faith it's impossible to please God. And yet we get to verses like this and say, well, but I've got faith. Well, what does your faith do? What does your faith motivate you to do in the work of the kingdom? Faith has to be something that motivates and encourages us to do whatever work in the kingdom that our help is needed for, whether it's in our comfort zone or not. I'm not saying that all the things we do as workers in the kingdom are out of our comfort zones. There are quite a few things that we do that fit right into our comfort zones, but not everything. Everybody's different. Everybody has something they're better at than others. And as well as I know that there are others that are the same way, so when we do decide to do those things that we consider not to be in our comfort zone, and we start but we get to a spot that we're afraid, all we have to do is ask God for help. You know, that's so simple, but in reality, our pride forgets that we have that avenue, and we just, well, I'm just not going to do this. I don't have anything to do. So we just wash our hands and we go on. Well, how does that help in the work of the kingdom? It doesn't. We need to persevere through all the things, and especially when we get into spots that we get a little scared or afraid of, then we need to seek God and his help to help get us through these things. Isaiah chapter 41, verse 13 says, "For I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, Fear not, I will help thee." You know, with a promise from God like that, what does this world have that we're afraid of? When God says, "Well, come on, I'll hold your hand, don't be afraid," then what can this world offer that we would be afraid of? Getting our feelings hurt, that's the big deal. And we're such shallow people at times that, well, I don't want to get my feelings hurt, knocking on doors and somebody rejecting what I tell them, you know. Well, if that's the worst fear that we ever face in this life, then boy, are we weak. We need to definitely strengthen our faith and trust in God more and more. And you know, just what we said a minute ago, the thing that we don't consider ourselves to be good at, the more we do it, the more we practice it, the more we get on, the better and better we get, and for long it applies that we have those things in our comfort zones as well. You know, it was in the midst of the storm that Jesus told Peter to step out of the ship and walk on the water to him. The moment he looked away from the master to the circumstances, Peter's faith turned to fear and he began to sink. And so it is with us. You know, when Jesus first told him to step out on the water and come to him, he said, "Well, are you sure?" And he said, "Yes, come on out." And he stepped out there and looking at Jesus, he just walked right on out that way. And then he started seeing the waves come up around him and figured out, I'm on water. I can't walk on water. And he started to sink and Jesus saved him. That's the way we get in the work of the church. We get started and we think, man, let's go. We just get after it and let's go. And then we get to looking around at people shutting the door in your face and nobody wanting to hear God's word. And before you know it, we're scared and back in the car and heading home. You know, we have a simple choice to make. Either we allow the demons of fear, doubt, and inadequacy to paralyze and diminish us into workers that are too afraid to do anything, or we live above life's crippling circumstances by choosing to believe and to act upon God's promises. So in closing, my question to you is, today, which do you choose, fear or faith? I'll leave the lesson with you this evening. I pray the things have been studied are beneficial. We can't be fearful in the work of the kingdom. We have to be about the work of the kingdom, no matter what we're afraid of in this world, whatever we consider to be our comfort zone, not our comfort zone. We can't let that dictate what parts of the work of the church we get involved in and what parts we don't. We need to be involved in all of the work of the church to help further the gospel and spread the borders of the kingdom. And if we let fear dictate whether we get into that or not, then we need to strengthen our faith and study God's word more. The promises where he says, "I'll take your hand and I'll walk with you and guide you and I will keep you from fear." Again, leave the lesson with you. If there's anyone subject to the gospel call this evening, I ask you to come forward, have a seat on the front while we stand and sing the song.